ever eaten moldy chocolate?
The tardigrade?
I'm Jasmine.
I swear on Satan, I'll do that.
That's my headcanon.
Okay. Into it. All of it.
I'm Mel's.
I love it.
Dumb.
Wait a minute.
And if you're watching TV,
I love it.
Make sure it's damn fine TV.
This is amazing.
That was awesome. Oh my God. Okay.
Always confusing my seconds and co-seconds. Is that right? I'm Mel's.
And paying the reporter for fresh dirt, I'm Coral.
Welcome to Damn Fine TV's Yellow Jackets Rewatch. This week I am joined by a very special guest and friend of the show and fellow Buzz Babe, Coral of Wholesome Peaks, to discuss episode 3 of Yellow Jackets. Welcome, Coral. How are you?
I am great. I'm super excited to be rewatching Yellow Jackets right now.
Same. Oh my gosh. Ah! I can scream. Like, I know we'll get into it, but today, because this was like my second watch, because I always like watch it all the way through once and then I watch it again to get my notes. But man, my heart was pumping. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. Like, what? And I've seen it. So it's very nice. It holds up, at least, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I did watch yesterday. I watched all three. And then I rewatched just the third episode today to prepare. And I had the same experience.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Such a great show. All right. Well, if you're ready, I thought maybe we could dive into a summary and then we'll just give some overall thoughts. How do you feel about that?
That sounds great.
Okay, cool. Episode 3 is called The Dollhouse. In 96, the girls say goodbye to their friends in a makeshift funeral and make camp at a nearby cabin. In the present day, Ty grapples with balancing her campaign and home life. Missy and Nat take an annoying road trip, and Shauna raises suspicions about Jeff. So, Coral, tell me, what were your overall thoughts of the episode? How did you like it? As if we didn't already talk, like, about it.
Oh, I love it. I love this episode. This episode's really fun. I feel like it's when things really start happening for everyone, both timelines. Really, we get past the plane crash and into survival mode, and we get into a lot of the big mysteries are really introduced for the first time.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel the same way, and I couldn't believe how quickly this episode went by for me. Like, I felt like I pressed play, and then before I knew it, like, it was like 5 minutes left, and I was like, no, I want more. Like, what's going on here? So Jasmine and I had talked last week about the pacing being so strong in this show, and it's true. I mean, you get so much information in the episode, but it doesn't feel like it lags or it doesn't go on too long, you know, which to me shows a perfectly written show, in my opinion. So
I completely agree. I feel like there's no room for anything that's not important, but then you also get a lot of fun moments that are really important for character building. So nothing is unintentional in this show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, so the way that I have the notes written out here, I just took some main points of some of the characters that we were focused on in the show. So what I'll do is just run through and then we'll tackle each topic. So we have Thaisa and Jessica. We have Misty and Nat plus Travis, The Cabin in the Woods, Shauna and Jeff plus Adam, and then whatever else we want to discuss. And then I have got questions that I wrote down during the episode that they were just questions that came to my mind that I thought were absolutely ridiculous that I was even thinking about this. So we'll get to those. So to start off with Ty in the present day, how did you feel about the reveal that Jessica's working for her?
Oh, yeah. So I completely forgot, I think. I think I forgot a lot about what happens in the show.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yes, I forgot that she was involved. And then it made me want to watch the other episodes really bad. But I'm like, I can't go past episode 3 today because I need 3 fresh in my mind. But I wanted to, because now I have all these thoughts about things that are going to happen later, which I'll stop for now, but it had my brain going.
Well, if you want to talk spoilers. I mean, we can, like, we're not going to worry about per se spoilers. I mean, we can talk in general if we want to, but I agree. I mean, I actually just forgot that it was revealed this early. I wasn't expecting it in this episode. Yes.
And so I forgot it was this early. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Tyson, the present timeline, you know, the guy that she's running against for the seat, like, put out this really nasty, but also hilarious, in my opinion, which shows you just how bad my humor might actually be. But the cannibal, you know, cannibalizing taxes or whatever. And I mean, but to put myself in Ty's shoes, like, I know that we're going to progress into more of Ty's storyline and we're going to learn some pretty crazy things about her as we go through the season. But like right now, and we all know, hello, we just got out of political season. I was like, not this. It was like PTSD. I was like taken back to like all of the text, phone calls, emails, like for this past like election. So I know that politics can be pretty, you know, lowbrow and they can be hurtful, but I don't know. Like it's funny because I know Thais's story through the end of season one, but I'm kind of finding myself sympathizing with her a little bit more this time around because, and especially during this episode, there's obviously some kind of trauma or underlying thing with her and death or like a PTSD we saw the moment with her grandmother. So I'm feeling a little bit more sympathetic. That does not excuse what happened to Biscuit. I won't spoil it now, but I still hate you for that, Thaisa. But I'm feeling
both times I watched the episode, I had a moment for Biscuit. I had to pause.
Well, you know what?
For Biscuit.
I'm not going to lie. For a hot second, I was like, I know it's not episode 3 we get the Biscuit reveal. Because I was supposed to turn it right off and just cancel today. Because I don't even know how I'm going to talk about that. So, but yeah, so what do you think about, I mean, I don't think that she's handling the work-life balance that well. And it's obvious that something's going on with Sammy, which is pretty heartbreaking. And then her wife, Simone, is like really, you know, there's a lot of stuff at home that's happening, but she's so wrapped up in the campaign. And obviously now that we know that Jessica's working for her. So like, how are you feeling towards Ty? I guess more in the present day than let's save past Ty for just a moment. So how are you feeling about her in present day?
Okay. Present day Ty. So this is all interesting rewatching the whole first season after finishing it, because this is the first time I've done it since 2021 when it finished. And I went in thinking I had very strong opinions about every character towards the end. And I wanted to know if I still felt the same way. Like, I'll be honest, I hated Jackie. I did not like Jackie. I thought she was the mean girl, the antagonistic friend. And rewatching it, I was like, no, I still don't like Jackie. I just also don't like Shauna either.
I mean, honestly, we'll get into Shauna. But
yeah, and we'll get to them later. I just had to throw that out because with Ty, yeah, I felt very similarly where I dislike her just as much the second time. I'm very interested in her psyche, but I feel like we just don't get enough sympathetic Ty. Even with the backstory, she's just so cutthroat and so she doesn't pay attention to her kids. She doesn't pay attention to her wife. But I do have a lot of sympathy for young Ty. So I wonder what's going to happen in between to make her change. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I really like 1996 Ty because I feel like, you know, just like what you were just saying, like looking at rewatching this show, I'm so sorry for the camera malfunction there. So rewatching it through the lens of having already, you know, seen the show and knowing like all of the high points, because I've mentioned this before, there's a lot of things that I just probably don't remember. I mean, I know there's been a couple of things out of last episode that I was like, whoa, that totally did not register that was going on in my head. So knowing that, I really admire Ty 1996 version, because I feel like she's actually more of a leader than what we see Jackie as, which is funny because the first time through you're like, well, she's the captain of the team and, you know, she's supposed to keep the girls together and all this and that. But I don't like Jackie. I don't think I cared for her the first time around. This time I'm just like, I got nothing for you, babe. Like, it's just, and I've noticed that I've left her out of my notes for two times in a row now. So I'm kind of like, maybe I should talk about Jackie, but I don't really want to, because like right now I feel like it's pretty surface. I mean, would you agree with that? Or
I agree. And yeah, I really thought I'd be more sympathetic to Jackie on the second round. And I think towards the end, and when there's going to be a lot of reflection after the last episode, where I find Jackie can be a really tragic character, but no plane crash. She's a mean girl and I don't like her.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't care for the dynamic at this point. Now, I know what's coming up is we're going to have a flashback to like a party. All of that good stuff is going to come up. I'd like to see how I feel after that when it comes to Jackie, but just like right now, surface what we've gotten in three episodes, I just don't even have the willpower to talk about her, to be honest. So it's funny that I'm seeing Ty as more of in a leader role, especially because she's the one that discovered the cabin. We'll get to the cabin in just a bit. She did want to sit around the plane, like wreckage site, and hope and wish to get saved. I mean, she kind of went into survival mode, and I think that now it's jump started. As we'll know, it'll jump start a lot of mischief down the road. But for right now, I mean, by the end of the episode, they've got clean water, they've freshened up, they've had a good laugh. Like, I mean, I can't imagine the stress reliever that is. They have a roof over their head, right? And not necessarily food in the cabin, but, you know, we'll they'll make do.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is everyone who's ever worked has been in a situation where you've got like an upper management that has no idea how to manage, and it's all like stuff at face value where it's just like saying words out loud or like stupid things they learned at like a team. Yeah, buzzwords. And just stupid things they learned at some kind of team building conference they got paid way too much to go to. And then underneath them is an underpaid manager or shift leader who actually does all the work. Mm-hmm. And that is our Jackie Ty dynamic right there.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, that's a great assessment, because you're right. Like it's the big dog always gets like the bigger meal or whatever, right? And in this case, it's like one thing I'm hoping will happen in season two is as we get more backstory on the team or the girls when they were in high school, I'd like to know the gauge of popularity. I mean, I know what we've seen so far of them is they congregate in a group. They're a very tight-knit group. But I'm wondering, alone socially, and I know we got a lot of that of Nat in first season, right? Like her backstory, Shauna too. I mean, but I'm just curious to know how much more they're going to go into Ty, because I'd like to just know more about... this sounds so like conceited of me to say, but like where she falls on the popularity scale, because again, like maybe she's really the true leader of the soccer team as well, but Jackie's the captain and she's always getting the recognition. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But then again, Ty did break that poor girl's leg. So I'm like, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, perhaps your astute analysis is wrong.
Earlier when I was saying that I hated Jackie and I like Ty, as I was saying it, I was remembering that she broke someone's leg and her bone came out. Yeah, Allie's leg. Sorry. So I try not to think about Allie too much because her existence also annoys me. As much as I promise you guys, I love this show.
But these are great characters. That accent. Oh, God. another thing. I'm looking forward to the reunion, but not her. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to make note of for Thaisa or Jessica or anything for Ty in this episode?
Nothing for Ty in this episode. Nothing in my notes.
Okay. So let's move on to Misty and Nat plus Travis. All right, here we go. Listen, Misty is my queen. I just cannot get enough of her. Okay. Like, past and present. Now, past Misty is she's a little much. Okay. But I love present Misty. I know she broke down the Porsche. I know what she did to Nat. But I mean, who wants to take a road trip by themselves? I mean, I know Nat probably would, but come on now. Not when you can have like the whole bag of chips like Misty, am I right?
Yeah, and she's got a dope playlist. She makes people listen to Cats the Musical. It's great.
That was hilarious.
That was cracking me up this time.
When they pulled up to get to the gas pump and it was that fucking Cats music, I was like, oh my God, bless you, Nat. Because if there was anybody in the group that probably wouldn't tolerate this, like, I'm surprised Nat hasn't been like, I'm cutting this shit off.
Just like taking the whole console and beating it to a pulp.
I know. But I mean, Misty has proven, even as in the present day or adult Misty, she's a valuable, even if it's a tad bit annoying, resource, because I know she's part of the, oh man, not the Crime Stoppers. Oh, now it's forgotten. Now it's slipped my mind. The little crime group that she's part of.
Oh, I crap. Totally forgot. I know it's what you're fine. Talking about. I can't.
I should have written it down, but nonetheless, but like, this is coming in handy when they get to Travis's. And I mean, she's fish out of pay stub. She's like, you know, what? Oh, the comment about not getting his veggies. I was like, I can't do this. Like, Misty, you are too much. So she's proven to me. Young, she's taken care of everyone in that crash. I mean, she saved Ben's life, even though he really wished that she hadn't at this point. He had a total Lieutenant Dan moment here, right? But like, am I the only one that saw that?
I love that observation.
They might as well have had ice cream and she might as well be Forrest Gump, right? Where she's like, they're there. It'll be okay, Ben.
That was like, beautiful.
Why didn't I die? And you're kind of like, well, I don't know. I'm kind of with you, maybe a little bit, man. But yeah, like, Misty is a valuable resource. And I think that's why this time around, like, we were figuring her out the first time around, I know. But this time I'm like, she's my queen. So what are your thoughts on Misty and Nat? And then we'll talk about Travis in just a little bit.
Well, you know, Misty's also the reason that they don't get discovered for 18 months.
I love you on the show because you're like, well, now wait a minute. Now listen, Ty broke the leg. Misty's got them stranded. Right?
But you I are love the her.
My yang, okay, I need this.
But I love Misty. She is Misty and Nat are my two absolute favorites in the show. And yeah. I've got the Misty glasses. I've got the Nat hair. So like, I channel both of them so hard. I love them both.
I love it.
Misty fucking Quigley is the greatest character on TV. So I love her. I love their dynamic. It is so funny. You know, there's so many sound bites I love from the show. But one of my favorite lines is just, Misty fucking Quigley, you crazy bitch.
I know. Listen, I say that to myself probably on a daily basis. And I don't even change it to my name. I call myself Misty Quigley.
That is perfect.
You crazy bitch. What were you thinking? I mean, you're right. Like, even in this episode, there the great soundbite of Nat when she finds the Porsche cords and she's like, fucking knew it. You know? Right. And like, when they're in jail and she's like, and who are you going to call? And then you find out that Misty's been like texting goth daddy Kevin as Nat. I mean, like, listen, could she come down just a little bit? Sure. But would we love her? I don't think
we wouldn't want her to. We want her energy the way it is.
We want her as extra as she is being and giving, and we want it. So.
Yes.
Okay. So Travis throws a wrench into everything. And I'm going to tell you. Okay. let's go ahead and do a content warning or a trigger warning. We are going to talk about unaliving yourself. I just like to put that out there because if you're sensitive to that, you can fast forward a little bit, especially if it was triggering for you in the show. But maybe what I'm about to say is controversial yet brave. But we don't know all of Nat and Travis's entire backstory yet, right? Like, we know that they're getting to know each other in 1996. He seems to be coming around a little bit. All of the girls are like, oh my God, is Travis actually hot? And you're like, well, yeah, duh. But obviously he and Nat start their flirtations in 1996 around this time, or this episode, I guess I should say. But controversial yet brave, there was some sort, oh gosh, I want to make sure I word this correctly because I'm not saying that it was beautiful that he unalived himself. But there was something haunting and poetic, and just there was just something in that moment of Nat finding him for me that I feel like, I know she's going to go through some downs, okay, like after this, but I think it's going to keep her motivated to figure out what the fuck is going on around these parts because she's lost somebody to what she does not believe that isn't an unaliving situation. She believes it's murder. So does that make sense? Anything that I just said? Like, I don't want to say that a body not alive, it was a beautiful thing, but it was heartbreaking. And it also made me feel like this would be the kick in the pants, I guess, you know, for Nat to continue on once she grieves through losing Travis.
I totally know what you mean. And I'll say, I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. I hate that. But I do like to say that you can find a reason in everything. Like, my best friend died when I was 16. Christian and I became friends because we bonded over that.
Right.
Do I wish my best friend didn't die? Yeah, but I have to look at the beautiful things that happened because of it.
Right.
And yeah, and so I don't like that everything happens for a reason because that means that there was a reason my friend died. I'm like, no. But right. I can find reason in bad things. And we're finding the reason in the bad thing for Nat here in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I felt like the writing was probably going to be on the wall just a bit with some of the clues in the house. Like, well, obviously he's going by a different name now. He's living out in the sticks. I mean, these things were pointed out by Misty. But I mean, he had been drinking, you know, and I'm assuming that it was pretty fresh based on the way that Natalie's face looked when she smelled it. And he still had like that Polaroid of the two of them up on his dresser. And I just was like, I can't. Like,
yeah.
Something bad is coming out of this, but I think it will. And honestly, we only know, like, the last thing that happens to Nat, we don't really know what's going to bring, what season two is going to bring for us. So, I mean, that's like the really anticipation part of season two. Like, on top of everything else, I'm also like, I have to know more about Natalie and Travis. Like, I have to know more about Travis and what does all this mean? And where does Goth Daddy fit into all of this? You know, all of these things.
So, knowing what you know, do you think that it was unaliving or do you think he was murdered?
Okay, honestly, we'll just get into some spoiler territory. I have this odd, weird thing that Ty is somehow connected way more, obviously, than even what we're given in season one. My wheels have just been turning, and I know I'm only on episode 3, so much more is going to happen. But, I mean, if Biscuit can be a sacrifice, I feel like Travis can be a sacrifice in some way. And it might not directly be Ty, but Ty has hired someone to, I guess, make sure get the tabs on everyone involved in this and, you know, make sure none of this dirt comes out during her campaign. So, I mean, you don't know what that could have led to. So I feel like it's probably a factor of things, but right now I've got a little bit. I know I just got through saying I was sympathetic towards Ty, but I think it's because this was maybe a sympathetic drawn episode because we get to see that moment with her grandmother. But I still think she's sneaky as fuck. So, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that it was definitely murder. I think the candles are the big thing for me. And I think it's funny that you were talking about, like, finding, like, the, not the positives, but, you know, just finding other parts, ways to look at the situation. And I think it's interesting that they probably were trying to eliminate a threat, but in doing so, they just kind of lit a fire under Nat to figure out what was going on. So they inadvertently motivated Nat to figure things out.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't really know when it comes to Travis. I mean, we don't really know. Okay, what I'm thinking of specifically in my mind is in the case when they go to, and I'm sorry, y'all, I know this is some spoilers, but we're hoping that you've come into this and already have watched the season, but this won't be too much. These are all unanswered questions, to be honest with you. But when they come in for the reunion and there's that case and it has everyone that they lost in, Javi and Travis's pictures are in there. And it feels like I don't think Travis would have got his yearbook photo already in that case. Or maybe so. I don't know. But, like, there's a lot of things going through my mind where I'm like, did he go off the grid? Like, is he involved in whatever this is that's going on? I mean, the postcards and everything like that. Like, what threat did he pose? And why is it looking like he didn't come out of those woods?
Interesting. But I didn't know about Javi. I didn't realize his picture was in there.
Okay, that could be totally wrong on that. Again, I could be wrong. I'm not afraid to say it, but we'll see when we get to that episode. So
that's something that I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if there's, like, going to be a good time to bring this up, but on my first watch, I didn't realize that only one yellow jacket died in the plane crash. I didn't realize that until watching this episode and then looking it up on Reddit just to be sure. That I think 20 people ended up surviving the plane crash. We only ever just see like 8 of them or 12, I think. But I didn't realize, now we know she was going to go see Oasis and they spent a lot of time talking about just one of the yellow jackets.
Rachel.
Yes. Your thing is rest in peace, Rachel.
And I think she's obviously the one that got the old plate through the throat. And I was like, if that's not trigonometry coming at you, like, don't be so good in trig. I think that's the takeaway from that.
That's a good point.
That is so
terrible. No one learned trig.
Don't take trig. But I don't know what else is offered. So anyway, no. I mean, you're right. Like, I didn't grasp how many. Well, first of all, I noticed that same thing when they were like just talking about Rachel. And I was like, okay. But then they were like, you know, stewardess Linda, pilot Bob, and then coach Ben, or
Coach Ben's leg buried. Is there. They is do true. Bury it, and they that do write make a little marker. So, if anyone watching this didn't notice, there's a marker that says Coach Ben's leg. So,
yes. But I too was like, wait a minute, only one like student didn't make it. Like, that's crazy. But then when you see them all in the lake, I was like, crap! I just didn't realize how many there were.
Where I think that's my one gripe is, like, give one of those red shirts one line. Just have them say, like, thank you for the soup, Misty, or something like that. Like, one line.
Just give them each one line so I fucking know. Like, I got to quantify what's going on here. Because right now I'm like, what, there's like 7 main people I need to worry about? No, there's apparently more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was just a wild on rewatch. I'm like, oh my gosh, how many of them are there?
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, so, I mean, some of the questions that we have towards the end of the season are things like, who's Pit Girl and things like that. Well, shit, I mean, now that I know how many are out there, I'm like, I don't know who the hell is who and who's doing what. So,
yeah, I think Reddit said there are 6 girls that didn't have lines. So there are at least 6 that we're going to get potentially introduced to in the next season.
Nuts.
I hate it. It's going to take me out of the show.
It's not one of my favorite things, but I do want to say something that is a favorite thing of mine, and that is socials and Patreon. Yes, everyone, we're taking a plug break, plug out of the show, plug into this. I don't know. I'm workshopping that. Basically, If you are enjoying the show, won't you please rate and review on your favorite podcast platform? Jingle, jangle, sprinkle, sprangle, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I'm throwing a little funeral thing in there. You know, throw some stars our way and leave us some feedback. We love reading what y'all have to say. If you're looking for the show on Instagram, it's at DamnFineTV. You can find me at Superficial Mels, and you can find Jay at DamnFineWitch. And Coral, please take a moment and plug your amazing page, Wholesome Peaks. We want to know all about it. Chances are you're probably already following her, but if not, Coral, take it away.
Do you guys like Twin Peaks memes? Do you like Yellow Jackets memes?
Yes!
Do you like Yellow Jackets and Twin Peaks memes?
Yeah.
And many more. Check me out, Wholesome Peaks on Instagram.
I love it. So I have to tell a little backstory. I met Coral. I had just started following Wholesome Peaks. And it's so funny because the other day I was rearranging my shelf behind me and I found the very first thing I have ever won off of an Instagram was from Coral at Wholesome Peaks. It was my Twin Peaks rainy day activity book. Don't worry, I have not written in it because it is such a treasured thing. So Coral has giveaways. Coral has amazing creative content over there. You have to go check her out if you're not already following. And you'll understand why she's a buzz babe. So thank you for being here, Coral.
Well, thank you for having me and plugging me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I want to let y'all know about is we are doing all kinds of really weird stuff over on Patreon.com. It's Patreon.com. Blah, 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 blah. It's Patreon.com/DamnFineTV. We have several tiers to choose from. You get some swag at sign up. Some levels have exclusive video content, pods that are not released out onto the free feed. So please head on over there and check us out if you are so inclined. And now, buzz, buzz, back to the show. Okay, I think I made that fairly seamless. So, all right.
That was awesome.
Oh,
you did a great job.
Thank you, thank you. All right. Are we good on Missy, Nat, and Travis? Should we move on to the cabin in the woods? Because, whoo-wee.
I think okay. It's, I mean, you can never get enough Misty Matt. Matt? Who's Matt?
No, Matt.
Wait, Matt.
Matt is their ship name.
Matt. Okay, there we go. Misty
we
and Matt.
We can just shorten
Matt.
It now. We can just shorten it.
Perfect. It's Matt. There's never enough Matt, but we do need to move to the cabin in the woods.
Okay, so dig this. They're all hanging out 3 days at the wreckage site, right? Okay, and Ty is kind of like, fuck this. Like, I'm tired. Like it's been 3 days. Are we going to get saved? I don't know. Van's kind of on her side as well. So she kind of just heads out into the woods. And she comes back and she says that she found a lake or a body of water. So they scramble everybody together. They put Ben on a stretcher. Jackie does not want to go, by the way. So we'll talk about this vote in just a moment. But the good thing that happens, and the also strange thing, in my opinion, which I'm picking up more and more of on this watch, is while they're in the lake, Lottie is the one to notice that the cabin is across the way. And it's very, I've got chili bumps. It's very ominous the way that there's like a light catching for her to notice, right? And so they all get there, but Lottie is the one that is not feeling this cabin at all. So, the cabin in the woods, what are your thoughts? Should we start with the vote?
Sure.
Okay. Do you think, I have more questions at the end, but the main thing I wanted to know here is, how do you feel about Jackie after the vote? Because I don't fucking like her, okay?
I mean, I didn't like Jackie from the minute that Coach Ben needed antiseptic, and she's like, that's mine.
Not so, my favorite.
Gosh. And then that, and then she's like, no, we're not going to move Ben, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to, and I'm just like, I guess in a lot of classes I've taken in college, they've actually taught you that you should stay with the plane, but if there's a cabin, you might want to go to the cabin. I think it's a little safer to go to the cabin.
I mean, or just some fresh water. Like, here's the thing. Yeah. Even if it was slightly over 4 miles, because I think
Even know about the cabin, right? Just the water.
Well, right now, yeah. But I mean, like, even just to get some fresh water, and then could we have compromised with Jackie and said, okay, well, we'll come back to the wreckage? I mean, maybe they would have done that if they hadn't found the cabin. But, yeah, I was like, Jackie, I mean, she got a couple of the red shirts to raise their hand. I think Lottie might have as well. But I don't like the way that she's treating Shauna. I mean, this isn't like, are you voting for me for homecoming queen? I mean, this is like survival after a very traumatic crash. Like, I don't need you holding grudges to Shauna because she don't want to stay at the plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that just goes back to her terrible leadership, just throwing a fit because her not looking at what's best for everyone else. It's what Jackie wants, and throwing Jackie a fit that her friend didn't follow. So she's a terrible leader because it's about her. I mean, we've got lots of politicians that are that way, so we know all about that. But
well, yes, we do. But, yeah. So once they get to the cabin, what are your thoughts or what are your feelings? I know we've seen what is going to transpire there, but on this rewatch, when you saw it for the first time again, like, how did it make you feel?
Oh, it's so exciting because so much is going to happen at the cabin. Knowing, like, this is the catalyst for so many things.
Yeah. And there's a dead guy in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
There's just a dead guy hanging out in a rocking chair, which really has me wondering, like, how, what, why, who?
I love the cabin too, because it really is when it starts to introduce. What I love about the show is it really walks this fine line between, is there something supernatural? Supernatural. I kept wanting to say superficial, and I'm like, that is your username.
But there's a lot of superficial shit going on here too.
Yes. Supernatural, superficial shit. Yes, the three S's. But no, I really love the cabin because it introduces that fine line that the show walks of, is it supernatural or is it just hysteria? And I think it really starts with Lottie noticing the cabin. It's right when we go to the what is going on in the show, and makes you really start wondering what the hell is happening.
I mean, especially because we know that Lottie has a medication that she takes. Okay, we don't know everything about Lottie yet, but obviously her taking that medication, I don't think that it's widely known, because I think it is Van maybe that sees her taking the medication, or it might have been one of the other girls, but the look on their face was like, oh, like, what is she doing, you know? So, I mean, not that, listen, I'm an open book. I don't mind talking about the medications that I'm on, but not everybody is like that. And this was also 1996. So, I mean, you know, times were different back then. But it doesn't seem, I mean, far-fetched that she's running low. She's the one that found it. But the other girl, okay, I'm liking what you're saying about the supernatural, this fine line, because in another episode, this will become a little more apparent / bothersome to me / really makes me wonder what's going on. But it's only been 3 days, and Van doesn't look like she was almost burned alive in that plane.
Don't even get me started on Van.
Okay, well,
and Van's injuries.
I know, but I was noticing it the most when she was like in the water, especially when she and Ty exchanged those glances at each other. And I was like, it just doesn't look like you barely got out of an explosion on a plane. Like, what you looked like in that moment, I mean, I know you've cleaned up a little bit, but I would expect some third degree burns here, Missy. Okay. Like, so there's that line of like, I don't know if you ever watched that show, The Affair. But it makes me think of this show, The Affair. It was on Showtime. I found it to be an amazing show. What I loved most about it is that the first half of the episode was told from one person's perspective. The second half of the episode was told from the other person involved's perspective, and there would be small changes like what somebody was wearing, or a color of their top, or a line of dialogue. There wouldn't be glaring differences. So I say all that to say there was nothing supernatural about the affair. I just love the way that they shot it from those two perspectives, right? But it's kind of this weird thing because you start to wonder in your mind, like, okay, was she maybe not that badly injured then? Or am I right in thinking that her injuries should be more apparent? I don't know. Like you just said, like, don't get me started on Man and the injuries.
Well, I'm wondering, we don't know when she got out of the plane. She may have gotten out of it before the explosion.
Well, I guess, I see that's true. We don't know that. We only see her afterwards when she's running by Jackie.
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh at that because it's a traumatic moment, I'm sure. But I mean, just to see her running by with like, I mean, yeah, looking a little like Freddy Krueger. And I was like, no, not this. But I'm glad Van survived. So,
but I do like your perspective about the water and how she looks different. So I wasn't trying to like shit on that by saying, oh, well, we don't know when she came out.
But it is possible. Totally right. I mean, you're totally right. Like, I don't know how she got out of the plane to begin with. So,
and that goes back to the supernatural. Yeah, it really walks a fine line starting in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe starting in the plane crash episode, but.
But it becomes super apparent, I feel, in this episode where you are really straddling that line of like, wait a minute, like, am I imagining? Because I don't know, it just felt super convenient for them to find a cabin and super weird then also what transpires in the cabin, which is that Lottie doesn't want to go in there, but then Lottie at the end is like up in the attic with the dead person in the rocking chair. So, you know, I don't know. It's so, oh, with all the symbols. This was such a good episode. They all are. Like, I'm loving this rewatch. So, did you have anything else about the cabin in the woods?
We found porn, and that was one of my favorite lines of the entire show. Is you can't even tell what kind of book she likes.
I love you, Travis. I love you, Flex. Bless it. Also, that Javi just wanted to look at it, and Travis was like, "No, you're not looking at this pornography." And I was like, "Give the boy something. He's stranded in the middle of the forest with a bunch of girls." Like,
Travis, you don't know if your brother's gonna make it out of this alive. You just watched your dad die. Let him look at some porn. I know you don't get to learn about books and the porn, but let your brother look at some boobs.
I mean, just let him. I mean, oh my God. And obviously, I think it was male and female because I think like one of like, is it Mari where maybe it was her that was like, is this what it looks like for you, Travis? And that's when he was like, is that what it looks like for you or whatever?
Like, yeah,
the whole high school like dynamic is so great in this, you know, oh God, it's just great. They write this show so fucking fantastic.
They really do.
But yeah, that was another great soundbite, was finding the porn. It was great. And I loved the general enthusiasm of everyone. And someone please get Ben a porno mag, because he is ready to hobble off into the lake and never talk to anybody again.
Yeah. Ben needs a lot.
That's not Misty and a protein bar.
Yes.
When she's feeding him, I was like, oh, but then she grows up to work in a home where she's feeding people. I'm like, Misty Quigley.
I had to look away during that scene. It was making, it was giving me so much secondhand embarrassment.
It was so gross. I know. All right. So the last thing I have out here is Shauna and Jeff plus Adam. So Jeff. What are you doing?
I love Jeff.
I love Jeff. All right. I have some questions afterwards. One of them is Jeff related. I'll go ahead and ask it now. Are you Team Jeff or are you Team Adam? Not thinking about anything that happens in the future episodes. just from watching episode 3, are you like, yes, Shauna, get it, because we don't know what Jeff is up to? Or are you like, Shauna, have you lost your mind? The man just added more celery to his protein shake. That's got to count for something.
More celery to his protein shake. I love it. Yeah. So speaking as not the person who has seen the whole season, I would say I'm probably team Adam at this point.
Yeah.
But I do love Jeff.
I love Jeff because he's so dumb. He's so dumb. Look, and it's just a character, I know. But I mean, I could get away with so much if I was married to Jeff. I could get away with so much. Like, where is my Jeff in this world? No, I'm just teasing.
Well, and Shauna does. So.
And Shauna does. Okay. Now, okay, adult Shauna is so relatable to me. I mean, I obviously didn't go through what she went through as, you know, a high school senior. But there's just something about the family life. And I've been married. It's fixing to be 15 years. Okay. So, like, I'm in this part of life and marriage and family and everything where just some of this stuff with Shauna feels relatable. No, I am not going to go and sleep with someone that I rear-end. Please don't get the wrong idea. But, like, I don't like young Shauna all that much, to be honest. She does a little too much on Handmaid's Tale for me, which is a lot of those stares, a lot of those June stares into the camera where I'm like, all right, we get it, girl. Okay, you're complicated. We don't need any more of the stares, okay? Let's just do something, say something, you know? But the way that she's like, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm Homeland Security. I could totally see myself pulling that same shit on somebody.
Have that in my notes. I said, yeah. Mel's, what would you say at a hotel if you were trying to find your husband?
Well, I mean, honestly, my mind wants to believe that I would be like, okay, fine. I am an FBI. I am the FBI. Okay. I am Mel's Cooper. I don't know if you've heard of me. But I think knowing the true Sagittarian in myself, I'd be like, you're going to tell me that room number because that's my husband up there and I know he's with a woman. And they would probably put me in jail, like Nat and Misty, to be honest. That I would get the cops called on me.
I love it.
Clink, clink. What would you do?
Well, I'm a Cancer. If we're going to go by our zodiac signs, I would go up, and if they said, we can't give you that information, I would say, okay, and I would leave. If we're being completely honest.
I thought for sure you would try to pull a cry, a tear, or something.
I mean, I would just, like, take the nearest lamp and just start smashing it into the...
I love this visual. I love it. You're like, okay, bye. But not before I just struck some property up in this bitch, okay?
And then someone's like, someone get this child out of here. There's this, like, 12-year-old
in your mind, break stuff is, like, on a loop. You're like, I'm breaking yes. your fucking face tonight. Yeah, like, that's except it's a lamp. So, you know, I love lamp. Go. Adam is definitely hot. I think Jeff is hotter, but maybe it's because he's of a certain age. I don't know if that has anything to do with it from my perspective, but Adam's a cutie. I just think Shauna's being super reckless, regardless of what she thinks her husband is doing, because she asked him 2 times what he was doing at the hotel. The first time he said his studio's right down the street and he likes the Manhattans there. And the second time he gave this very just like, well, I thought I knew, but now I don't type of answer. And you're already if you weren't getting the creepy vibes from Adam before, pardon me, because he was conveniently a mechanic and everything like that. Then now you're kind of like, what are you doing here while Shauna's on her stakeout for Homeland Security, sir?
Yeah, I, you know, even after watching the whole first season, I have no idea what to make of Adam other than I don't understand why he was there.
I
don't understand why Shauna was just so okay with it.
Well, I mean, if feel like in her mind, she thought she was doing due diligence by asking him twice, but I don't feel like she was picking up on any of the red flags that were going off. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is the frugality. Is that a word? Maybe this is the frugalness. Definitely don't think that's a word. My frugal side showing. But if your studio apartment's just down the road and I'm going to fuck you, I'd rather not have to pay for a room. Especially at that
point. Right?
I mean, maybe don't go to
a stranger's house.
Ooh, see, this is why you're here today. You're here to reel me back in. Because here I am. Here I am talking about your plate. You're being reckless, Shauna. Just go to his house.
You're reckless. Go to a stranger's house that nobody knows. And don't share your location.
Why wouldn't you just go to his home? Hello. Oh my gosh. Get it together. So again, not knowing anything out of this episode, how did you feel for Shauna in that moment when she did see Jeff leaving with the woman though?
Oh, I mean, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, Shauna, you had to see this coming.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so many memories from the childhood had to be flooding her mind at that moment. I mean, especially, I think that she carries obviously some guilt around Jackie. So, I mean, how could she not think, well, this is kind of like my, not retaliation, but like you get like what you put out, like this is my karma. That's what I'm trying to say. This came out super weird. So.
Yeah, it's hard to feel bad for Shauna in general.
Oh, God.
Adult Shauna, because in the first episode, you know, she's having a good time on her daughter's bed. And so it's just hard to ever feel bad.
Yeah. What? I don't know. Like, that's when I was like, relatable content.
Mels.
No, I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't double click it to, I don't think I would double click it to my child's, like, significant other, but just like, what is going on with you and your husband? Like, hello, you know what I mean? But relatable, because I don't know, like, am I oversharing? I have a wonderful marriage, we have a great active life. Okay, that's all I need to say. So, oh my gosh. Okay, well, is there anything else that you want to discuss from the episode that we maybe didn't hit on that you have in your notes? I just have 3 questions, because we just answered one about Adam. So
I have 2 really stupid little things.
Have you not heard me for the past like 50 something minutes? Hello.
Perfect. I'm in good company. When Dreams by Cranberry started playing, Christian was like, that song belongs to Dairy Girls. So I just wanted to throw in a comment he made so he could contribute to this.
Thanks, LBC,
y'all.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I thought it was really funny that Natalie, and I'm not even going to try to remember how she said it, the police officer said her last name wrong, and she says she corrects him. And I was just thinking, I have a coworker that has called me Carol every day for 3 weeks now. And I'm like, I wish I had Natalie's ability to correct someone that she's never going to talk to ever again. Hopefully, I mean, she's not going to talk to that police officer ever again.
Well, gosh, fingers crossed.
Which probably not.
Yes. Now, you're absolutely correct on this, because I have been called some doozies in my life. I worked in a call center for many years, so I took a lot of phone calls. People would say, Martha, like, this is what's going on. Now, I had a totally different outlook, though, where I was like, okay, if for some reason this call goes sideways, I need you to tell them that the person was Martha, because there's not a Martha that exists. So, therefore, here to unwitch, if you like those lawyer terms I'm throwing out there, I could never get in trouble for the phone call going sideways, because they would be like, there's no Martha here.
That's my fault. You know, I worked booking pavilions for Parks and Recreation in college, and I used to tell my boss, I was like, I'm not giving these people the energy by correcting my name. So if you hear Opal, Pearl, Carol, anything like that, just, I mean, don't, if it's a bad call, don't tell them it was me. You can assume it was probably me.
You but just also go ahead. The blame. Right. You just go ahead and say, well, we'll talk to Opal about that. Okay. Yeah. The difference here, though, obviously, is that it is your coworker. Now, I don't know how long I could stand that, because once upon a time I had a boss as well who didn't realize that Mel was short for Melissa. And he, when we did our employee performance review one year, he wrote out Melanie throughout the whole thing. And I was like, now let's talk about this. You look at the name of your employees, I'm hoping on a daily basis. Are you not aware that you do not have a Melanie working for you?
That is so weird.
Because
that is a Jackie kind of leader.
That was Jackie. Jackie was my boss once upon a time. I let him go through the entire review, and I can't help it. I'm a smart ass sometimes. And you know what I said to him? I was like, well, it just sounds like Melody is doing a great job. What about me?
I and love it.
He didn't like me after that anymore. So, you know, maybe keep the smart ass comments to yourself. I don't know. Okay, beautiful. So the last couple of questions I wanted to ask you. Do you think Travis is hot?
I think Travis is a pretty attractive guy.
Okay. I'm going with yes. That's my answer. So would you have left the plane?
Oh, my gosh. My brain immediately went to when it was on fire. Yes.
No. Would you have stayed with Jackie, or would you have gone with Ty to the lake?
Okay. Like I said, I'm a Cancer that doesn't stick up for myself, so I probably would stay by the plane. Well, I would be like, how about we have a group that stays here and a group that goes, and I will stay with the group that stays here, and if it's safe, then I'll follow you guys later.
See, I'm with you on this. This was my thought process as well, as I thought, okay, I know they don't want to necessarily split up because they don't know where they're at. However, if it's only about 4 or 5-ish miles or whatnot, why don't you just let someone, like, go for back? I mean, pick the short straw, go for back, and be like, all is well. Or why not day trips down to get our water supply and get all of that, and then night trips back to the safety of the plane wreckage, which sounds very weird to say. But I'm here to tell y'all right now that there is no way in hell you would have caught Mel's anywhere near that fucking cabin. I would have went back by myself to the plane, and then I would have looked like that guy up in the rocking chair when someone came back to check on me, because I would be like, you're not getting me in this cabin. Something ain't right.
Yeah, especially after finding the dead body. I'd be like, I'm going to head back. I know it's midnight. I know it's dark. I'm going to head back right now.
Thinking about taking my chances.
Yeah. I'll swim in that water to get back.
Yeah. I'm going to take my chances that Jason is in that lake versus staying in this cabin, just so everyone here is clear. Okay, great. Now, what the fuck with like 30Ks is the man with no eyes? Is he an angel? Is he just death? Is he a bad omen? Because I don't know. Like, for me, it seemed like a sweet old grandmother that was like living out her last moments, but we don't know what she did in her life, and knowing what we know about Ty. So, I mean, is this bad? Is this what? Because what are you thinking?
I feel like, well, going back to that, is there supernatural stuff going on? I would say he's a bad omen. I would say anything to do with Ty is probably a bad omen at this point.
Agreed. Yeah, same. I mean, I thought angel of death, perhaps. But, you know, I don't know. Hopefully y'all have seen Nope. But if you've seen the alien in Nope, you know that that's what real angels, as depicted by the Bible, really look like. That's not what she saw in the mirror. So I'm going with... it is an omen. especially with the no eyes and with her screaming out, don't let them take my eyes. And what a gnarly moment that was as well when Ty, all right, first of all, the audacity of little Ty. I grew up in a funeral home, okay? Like, I was like, I feel like people, like older family members and whatnot, they were like, unfortunately, like passing every week. So I just feel like I was raised up in the funeral home. I never once thought, I'm going to go up there and pull those eyeballs back and see what's under there. So the the bravery / audacity of young Ty to be like, let's come check out Granny's eyeballs one last time.
If you had any doubt that Ty is, okay, a little bit of spoilers, you guys. If you had any doubt that Ty is behind everything, just rewatch little Ty doing that and know that she is not stable.
Also, something interesting about Ty, and I didn't mention it before because it kind of goes with my question here about this man with no eyes, and specifically what you just said, which I had no idea you were going to, by the way. I just wanted to put that out there. It's not like we knew what each other was going to say. There was something very ominous in an obvious way. But the juxtaposition between her climbing that ladder up to the attic to find that dead body and her climbing the stairs down to find Sammy's doll, like the way that it cut in from past to present. I don't know. It gave me this really eerie thing because I was like, all right, whatever's going on with Ty and Sammy and whatever Sammy is seeing, like he said, you're not the bad one. This, I feel like, did start with, but maybe was amplified by whatever is in this cabin. And that's where that line of, like, is it hysteria or is it trauma? Is it supernatural? Like, what is it? But I loved that shot a lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Sweet. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to add to episode 3 of Yellow Jackets?
Nope, that was everything. It's all good.
All right.
I meant to like put it down and then do that, but anyone watching, I don't know what I'm doing with my hands anymore.
It's like Ricky Bobby. We don't know what to do with our hands, and it's okay. It's just part of life.
Perfect.
Okay. Shake and bake, baby. All right. Well, are you ready to finish this bad boy up then?
All right.
Okay. Well, if that's all for this time, I've got a trig final to study for.
And I've got some Gibbsboro ghoul research to finish.